Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan, animated double feature for the holidays. For the holiday week. I know, right?
It's why not?
Fun when we get one animated film in a week, but this week we get two. One in theaters, one on Netflix. Disney versus Netflix. And Adam Sandler, amazingly enough. So this is going to... We're not going to be able to do an apples-to-apples comparison on how well they do. Because one will have box office, theoretically, and one will not have box office at all. Let's start with the big dog in the fight. That would be Disney and Disney's Wish. The film, 100 years in the making. Yeah. Because this is Disney's 100th anniversary. They decided they needed another big, monstrous animated hit and a new Disney princess. This one is Asha.
Princess.
Say what?
Sort of a princess.
I guess technically she does work for the king, which gets her pretty close.
We'll get into that.
So voiced by Ariana DeBose from West Side Story. King Magnifico, voiced by Chris Pine, who has a great villain voice, by the way. He's so likable and affable in person and in, but he has a great villain voice. So in the kingdom of Rosas, which is an island kingdom, Magnifico is the king and he keeps everyone safe by protecting their wishes. They give their wish to him and he protects them from the pain of never having those wishes or having those wishes dashed. Because they're not able to achieve their wishes, which
but he does occasionally,
like monthly. He does
grant somebody's wish. So yes. There's this sort of illusion of kindness.
Yeah, well, it's worked for however long the kingdom and people come there voluntarily from all over, and give their wish. To live in this place where they're protected and loved and they don't have to worry about being hurt. And then Asha becomes his apprentice to help him deal with the day-to-day drudgery, I guess, of micromanaging an entire kingdom's worth of wishes. And she learns the cold, hard truth that all children learn as they grow up, that life is not a bed of roses. It's terrible. Yeah. Life's horrible. Adulting sucks, if you will.
It's just this idea that, you know, if you don't know what you're missing, then you won't miss it.
Exactly.
But you also won't experience it.
Yeah.
Unless you're a chosen few.
Right.
And I guess the crux of this is that there's the illusion that everyone has a shot. We learn, I think this is about as far as I'm going to go into plot, but we learn that actually not everyone is on equal ground and that there are some wishes that are more likely to be granted than others.
And yes, and it's all about the safe. It's all for your protection.
And it's not based on the individual.
No.
It's based on the whim of the grantor.
Yes, it is. So once she learns this cold, hard truth, she runs off in a sad and musically induced state. She wishes for more than this for Rosas. She just more than this. And that wish is granted by the wishing star and hilarity and bad things happen, but good things happen. I guess it depends on what side of the line you're on.
lots of things happen.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of things happen. It's animated. It's Alan Tudyk is playing an animal again, voicing an animal, much as he did in Moana, except this time he actually does get to talk. Valentino, the really manic goat of Asha. Man, you know, there's a lot. I enjoyed a lot of things in this movie. I think there's a lot of, in not the way that we're going to talk about, there's a lot of the good that is classic Disney in this. There's a lot of, but there's also, I mean, yes. Okay. So the elephant in the room is that this is 100 years in the making because they reference pretty much everything. Uh-huh. In some way, shape, or form, whether it's visually, whether it's a one-off line, whether it's an actual physical, quote-unquote, physical gag to invoke something, but they pretty much grab something from every other Disney animated film. And they drop it in here.
The apple on the desk, or a cameo of a character, or some sort of spoken reference.
Yep. There's tons of them. You would have to watch this movie 100 times and be a Disney scholar.
Well, I joked that, it's a 90-minute movie, but somebody out there is going to make a 2-hour to 2.5-hour every Easter egg YouTube video out of this.
And it'll be 2 hours long and they'll still miss something.
It is insane, and even better, they'll probably misappropriate something as well.
they'll misattribute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Yes.
But if you can misattribute, doesn't it mean that it still applies? Because obviously it invoked
something. Yes. But was it intentional?
Was it intentional? Who knows? At that point in this film, I don't even know if they intended half the stuff they intended. There's a lot of good. I felt like there was a lot of the good stuff from classic Disney animation. I liked the feel of it overall. I think the songs mostly worked. But there's a lot of the not good stuff that we get from modern Disney.
I would say that it feels like modern Disney trying to be old Disney.
Yeah.
And I think they needed to, I think they could have just made a film that was an all-star Disney film that worked better than this.
All-star, do you mean like actually, you mean like
actually having the characters? So do go to the Wreck-It Ralph route.
Right. That's what I was thinking, with all the princesses in one room
dealing with Vanellope. And why not just bring, if you want to evoke that stuff,
just go all the way.
It's all too obvious that's what you're doing. If they were kind of secretive about it or clever about it, I think I would care. I mean, I wouldn't care as much about the fact that they're doing it, I guess. But I mean, obviously, it's a playoff of When You Wish Upon a Star.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they thought, okay, 100th anniversary, what is Walt Disney's vision boil down to? It boils down to that, really. Whatever you can dream is possible.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
There you go. I just don't know why they didn't, because they do have characters who pop up here and there, and they have definite elements of other characters. I mean, there's just so much of, oh, look at that green magic. I wonder where that came from. Or, everything feels like a callback to something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not just go all in? Why not?
They did go all in. But what they did is they went all in. And really, the more I think about it, Wish is the prequel to Walt Disney. It is the seed movie from whence all the other, even though it comes 100 years later, if you look at it, if you just drop it before Snow White, that is Wish is what is where all of that germinates from. Obviously, that's not true. But in terms of cinema, that's what it is. They made a prequel to Walt Disney. And so, like I said, a lot of it works. You kind of see parts of it. But like I said, parts of it don't. And I don't want to break down exactly why, but you when you're watching it, you will feel the new Disney stuff. And new Disney stuff is just not as good as old Disney stuff.
Well, and let's be clear, this is not, when we say new Disney, we're not talking politics. This is you know, at least not, you know, some of the recent Disney films have been fairly overtly political in some of the character choices they've made.
Yes.
I would say I don't really feel bad at all from this one.
There's one glaring example, but I'll let you finish.
Okay. But in general, I mean, obviously, you know, I suppose it didn't feel as blatant as it has in some films and as of late.
No.
But it just for me, this just felt incredibly generic. Because it was the last thing you want a movie like this to do is to make you want to go watch the other movies, right? Not this movie, but the movies that it's, you know, paying tribute to. So if I leave going, that really wasn't that satisfying, but I bet you if I went and watched Snow White again, or if I went and watched Sleeping Beauty again, or any
Fox
of the classics,
and the Hound, Robin Hood,
any of them. Yeah, if I went and watched those, I bet you that would be more satisfying.
Yes.
And that's literally what you're trying to avoid when you make a movie like this.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a little bit. There's one glaring example, and I cited it with visual evidence in my written review, and that is the appearance of the Seven Dwarves.
Sure.
Because the Seven Dwarves are in this film, but it's the new Seven Dwarves. So, and we know how well those were basically received by everybody. But they're there and you can't get around it. You really can't. So, but yeah, it's just this film, once you start seeing the Easter eggs, you're reminded of all of those good films. And so it's like, why, you know, it's the Star Wars argument, the sequel trilogy. You know, by the time you get to Rise of Skywalker and you see all of J.J. Abrams cramming in as many Easter eggs and callbacks as he can, it's like, well, why don't I just go watch those instead of this mishmash of stuff? And yeah, that's the problem, is that Wish is generic because it's trying to be everything. And you can't be if you're trying to be everything, you ultimately wind up being nothing. And that's it. This isn't nothing, but it's not nearly as much as it might have been had they just simply told the tale of Asha in this kingdom without cramming all this stuff in.
Yeah. Cause you could do that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It would totally work.
But the way they've done it is, you know,
they made it the 100th celebration.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. They should have said, you know, 100 years of Disney has led to this, and made that movie
a very Disney-ish movie, and this would have been
it definitely would have
Disney,
been
you know ish movie. I honestly, my first thought, and I don't know if you play video games, but there's the series of Kingdom Hearts.
I'm familiar. I don't play, but I'm familiar with Kingdom Hearts. It's like, yeah,
and I left going, you know, maybe they should make that movie.
I think people are still. I know the Kingdom Hearts people would love a Kingdom Hearts movie. I think there's,
you know,
yes,
and it's all very much of a, let's take the great characters and put them all in the same world and you know, have them fit into some grand adventure sort of video game sort of thing.
I'm holding out for the Mortal Kombat equivalent, which is Super Smash Brothers.
There you go.
So hopefully Nintendo, hopefully Nintendo does that next.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
That would be awesome. It would be like Secret Wars, but with Mario.
Yes. And as crazy as that sounds, you could do that.
Oh my God, that would be so incredible.
You could so do that. Partially because A, you're working in an animated field. Yeah. I think that helps actually. Because you can have conflicting artistic styles, I suppose, in animated more so than you could in a live action.
Spider-Verse proved that.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine doing it that way?
It would be fun.
Oh my God, it would be a blast.
I think we've just decided upon movies that we had rather see than the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
Which, again, problematic.
Problematic. Like I said, it's not a bad film. Wish is not film.
And then I can guarantee you, look, there are people who love Disney who enter going in and seeing it more as a game, I guess, than than, you know, of let's see how many of the Easter eggs I can find. To me, that's not a movie. That, again,
that's a gimmick.
It's a Trivial Pursuit, or I don't know, you know, it's a matching game or something. I have a coworker who's a huge Disney fan. So I've told him that I'm really interested to see how he feels about it, because he's the sort of person that will get, you know, first pass through. He'll probably get at least 75% of them, if not more.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, you know, he knows it.
Right.
But I don't know, is that going to be distracting or is that going to be fun? I don't know.
It'll be distracting if he's invested in the film. It'll be fun if he's not.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a good thing, bad thing. That's what it'll boil down to, though.
If you're invested in the story they're telling, it could be a distraction. But if you're not invested, then it could be fun.
I just found a little too, I don't know. I guess I don't want to say it tried too hard or it didn't try at all. A lot of thought clearly went into it. You can't just drop all those Easter eggs in there without, you know, although you could also argue that they put more thought into dropping in Easter eggs than they did into other aspects.
Right. They made the movie they wanted to make, but I don't know that it's the movie they should have been trying to make.
Yeah.
They didn't accidentally make this. I don't think this movie is anything other than what they wanted, but I think they wanted the wrong thing.
That.
But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show. But on the flip side of that, a very non-Disney film. Hits Netflix, Adam Sandler, Leo, the story of a very old classroom pet lizard named Leonardo, voiced by one Adam Sandler, who realizes that he's coming to the end of his life and decides that he hasn't lived at all because he's lived his entire life in this terrarium, in this classroom. And so he decides he's going to break away and go to the Everglades and live before he dies. However, his plan is repeatedly thwarted by the fact that the kids take him home weekend after weekend, and he cannot escape. But in doing so, it turns out that he can actually talk, and he talks to the kids, and this becomes a weird Adam Sandler old man lizard helping these stupid young kids with the problems they think they have, because they think they have problems that no one has ever had before. But he has seen the exact same kids go through his class for 74 years. And so it's that I watched this while I was on vacation. I didn't even know it was coming, and the screener popped up. It's not bad. I like the fact that his cellmate, if you will, in the classroom is a turtle voiced by Bill Burr, who is just terribly negative about everything Leo is doing. They're the guys that have grown up together and have gotten old together, and they love and hate one another. When it boils down to it. So this one is a completely different feel from Wish. This is, you know, one lizard trying to survive, but it's a coming of age story for all these kids in sixth grade or whatever, or fifth or sixth grade. But it's also kind of a coming of age story for Leo, because he never actually had to grow up and live, because he just lived in this stupid classroom. So that's what became interesting for me. Some of the kids were a little annoying. Sandler's voice can get tiresome after a while.
Well, I think the problem is you go, oh yeah, that's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And he's doing Adam Sandler shtick.
Yeah. But the concept I liked, surprisingly.
Yeah. I'm not an Adam Sandler fan. Let's put it that way. there are occasional movies that he has been in. Usually when he's playing against type,
right?
That I have enjoyed at various levels. Generally, I don't really care for his humor all that much.
Right.
But you know, and there's aspects of that in this. It's still fairly juvenile, makes sense for what it is. It's fine. I'll be honest. I get halfway into this and I'm totally not into it. I'm not going to finish. That's the safety of a Netflix show at times, is that, what's the worst thing that can happen? I can waste a half hour, I can waste an hour, but, it's pleasant enough, I don't know. I think that I have a lower expectation for it, so I think Wish was a bigger disappointment
because it's a Netflix version, or Netflix
and Adam Sandler, and just you factor in everything,
right?
And it was like I expected very little, and got at least what I expected, if not to be honest, a little bit more maybe. There's some heart to it, there's some I don't know. There's just, it's fine.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, Wish is fine. But I had so much, more hopes going in for Wish than I did with Leo, that Leo didn't really feel like a disappointment by, the same measure as Wish did.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing about wherever the baseline is, in diving and gymnastics, it's degree of difficulty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to be, on an artistic level, Wish is a much prettier, more, visually.
It feels more, it's polished.
It's, yes.
Leo uses, for being computer animated, in a lot of ways, it feels cruder.
Yeah. Not as much texture.
Yeah.
Very, very, not bad animation. But also not something that you're going to sit back and go, oh, that was particularly artistic.
Yeah, Pixar. Ooh, excuse me. Pixar would never have let that out the door. In their heyday, Pixar would have been like, no, go back and re-render that. So it's, it's not bad at all. Surprisingly, but
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And like I said, that was a pleasant surprise. Now it's not as pleasantly surprising as Puss in Boots: The Last Wish was a couple years ago. Which just came out of nowhere. But that more appealed to, I think, our demographic than Leo is supposed to.
I would agree with that. But I do think that in Sandler's mind, it's supposed to appeal to his crowd. I guess, you know, I mean, whatever that crowd is, right, share it with their kids now or their grandchildren, or, you know. Of the other Netflix stuff that he's done, this is probably the one that I can stomach the most. If I had a kid who wanted to watch it, I don't think I would be like, oh, that one again. I think I'd be like, okay, that's fine.
Can't we watch anything else? Which
often happens with kids.
Yes.
Movies. There are certain things that, you know, be like, you know what? Can we just maybe, you know, watch anything other than this thing that you are obsessed with? But I didn't, you know, it didn't annoy me by any stretch of imagination. And I don't know that it really engrossed me either, though.
I think based on degree of difficulty, it's more enjoyable than Wish. But like I said, Wish is probably more polished film, but it was trying to do something different than this one was. So there's two animated films this week for you that are today, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Leo is on Netflix. Wish is in theaters. We'll see how that one does. It'll be interesting to see how Wish actually plays out, because there's nothing inherently wrong with Wish that should keep families away. Because it is decidedly a family film. There's no pre-release negative buzz. There's not a lot of controversy on it. But there's not a lot of really, you know, excited buzz about it. So it exists in this weird PR dead space. But I'll be interested to see with the holiday weekend how it actually performs, because it should do well.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, it's going to be impacted. Still, we're still in the wake of the strike.
Yeah,
because this is a film that had things been going more, you know, normal times, I think you would have had a big, you know, push.
Yeah, there would have been a nice junket for that. Pine and DeBose would have been everywhere.
Sure, there would have been a bigger sort of celebration of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because of the situation, it does feel like you know, that they. It's weird because you would think that they would be like, it's 100th anniversary and we're celebrating everything that's great about Disney, but they're not really. It's almost as if they said, well, let's not spend nearly as much money as we might have otherwise. Just see what happens.
And we'll see what happens. The other movie, it's going to dethrone Hunger Games. I know that. Because I think Hunger Games won the box office last week.
Yes.
So it should take that. There's a couple of status films in release this week that we haven't talked about yet. And I say status films, Napoleon from Ridley Scott and Maestro from Bradley Cooper, which we will talk about later. That'll be an interesting box office to watch to see which type of films do better business. I'm not worried about dollars and cents. I just see what kind of film has what kind of response from the audience. See where the audience's head is at in terms of what they want.
You know, could this be another case of a Barbieheim,
right?
Where you have two films that arguably do exactly what you would hope they would do.
Yeah.
I think there's space for that, but we'll see. Obviously Maestro ending up on Netflix soon is going to impact that, but I don't know how much, actually, because Five Nights at Freddy's did just fine, and it was dual release. So.
Yeah,
it'll be anyway, interesting. We'll see.
It'll be interesting. We are going to talk about Maestro at some point, because it's award season. We are going to talk about Napoleon at some point, same reason. We are going to talk about the newest Nicolas Cage film from A24, Dream Scenario, which opens Friday, not today, the day after Thanksgiving. And then some movies that are coming out in December, we will be talking about Wonka with the Timothée Chalamet and the musical, Broadway musical cinematic version of The Color Purple. We will be talking about, and we've still got more stuff to watch between now and Christmas even. So it's getting to be a busy time. I know we are both getting swamped with the screeners for stuff we have seen and for stuff, if you're me, it's stuff that I didn't get to see the first time around.
Yeah.
So
no, there's still, yeah, there's just so much out there.
There is. I actually literally just before we recorded this, I finished watching May, December. So
anyway, we can talk about that sometime.
We'll talk about that sometime too. Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore. That's an interesting little film. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about and we will be talking about those. But until we do, enjoy your Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy your family if they A, manage to make it to your house, and B, if you can tolerate them because they're family. And enjoy your long weekend. And until we talk to you again, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we'll talk to y'all later.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.